The total oil find, or gas find, natural gas into oil find, off the southern Cape coast that has everyone very excited. People talking about trillions of barrels of oil and transforming the economy and everyone getting very excited. It was a high point at Sona. Forgive me if I was deeply skeptical when I heard that. Firstly, it's going to take a very long time for that to transfer into real money. Secondly, it will not be a big-scale employer. And thirdly, I can't find a single country in Africa where you would describe the discovery of oil as something that has been of benefit to the vast majority of the population of any African country. In fact, you might expand that further around the world. There are very few. They call it the curse of oil or the curse of gas. And then you add to that the environmental issues and the renewable energy issues. And where are we going with the future of energy in this country? Kevin Blum put a lot of this together in a very powerful piece on Daily Maverick this week. And it really does encapsulate the curse of commodities. And he joins me now, author and journalist at the Daily Maverick, Kevin Blum. Kevin, a very good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon to you, Mike.
You clearly have a very skeptical view of this windfall that we're allegedly going to receive.
Oh, indeed, Mike. I've spent time in the Niger Delta. I've been on the borderlands of South Sudan. I've been in the Central African Republic reporting on these issues. And it is very much a curse. And it's very much a curse for a range of reasons. But let's start off with the myth of the trickle-down effect, which economists seem to believe works when it comes to natural resources. And the IMF itself, in a comprehensive report in 2012, found that in sub-Saharan Africa, it does not work at all. It works where you have a social welfare state with very strong institutions, Norway being one of the exceptions with their sovereign wealth fund. But it hasn't really worked in Canada. It hasn't really worked in the U.S., and it certainly hasn't worked in sub-Saharan Africa.
The U.S. is the one that stands out to me there. Really, surely it did transform the American economy in the latter part of the 1800s, early 1900s, and isn't shale gas, fracking, leaving aside the environmental issues, isn't that having a powerful, positive impact on the American economy?
Well, I don't think we can leave aside the environmental issues there, Mike, because our economy is fundamentally a carbon economy, and we've run out of resources. We need six planets, according to some of the latest estimates, to keep on burning fuel the way we're burning it. And, you know, the environmental issues is less of an issue than it's the biggest challenge facing the future of humanity today. So was it a positive thing for the U.S. and the world? I think that's highly debated.
All right. Surely we can say, as some have said, I think Julius Malema even said it today on the Sona debate, yes, it can be a curse, but it won't be if we manage it properly. Is there not a potential upside here if we learn lessons?
Well, we're not learning the lessons, Mike, because 3 days after the day after the announcement was made at Sona, Gwede Mantashe went off to the west coast to the Tormin mine to speak to the Australian owners, the same guys who own the mine at or own the prospecting rights to mine in Kolobeni, rights that have been put on hold, and we know what's been happening there, and I've been covering that in depth. And effectively, the claims of the landholders or the rights of the landholders to say mining is not going to happen yet, rights that have been upheld by the North Gauteng High Court, are being ignored by Gwede Mantashe. He's taking it on appeal. It's going to go all the way to the Constitutional Court. And on the back of this, the week of the mining in Darwin, we had a report out of Action Aid stating that 79% of respondents in mining-affected communities in 8 out of 9 provinces in South Africa said they had gotten zero benefit from the mines. So how on earth is anybody, aside from the entrenched elite, going to see a benefit from this gas find?
What about the fiscus? What about tax? What about the fact that we would get hundreds of millions, if not billions, of rands in state revenue?
So this is a debate that now goes into economics. And the Economist itself has stated that climate change is an example of market failure. And, you know, thanks to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's Green New Deal, in the US at the moment, the possibility is being raised that economists have lost the chance to lead the fight. We, I believe, have to look at that first. We have to look at what our immediate concerns are. And they are immediate, given that we've had sub-zero, you know, we've had Arctic temperatures in the Midwest of the U.S. It's been 49 degrees within 1 degree of the coast in Australia, the wildfires in California, the wildfires in South Africa. Climate change is here. So, you know, what are we using these tax dollars for? Are we using it to back up this idea of economic growth, which people like David Suzuki are saying is has now run its course, that what we actually need now is degrowth. We need to have a look at what our resources are, and we need to live within our means. Or is it growth at all costs? Is it the fiscus at all costs? Is it GDP at all costs?
Is that reasonable, Kevin? I mean, I get what you're saying, and I understand on an intellectual level and even on an emotional level, but it's a global issue. Can you expect a country like South Africa to pass up the potential revenue that could have a really significant benefit for a lot of people in this country if it's properly handled on the basis of a broader global issue? Is that a reasonable expectation politically and economically?
What we need to be talking about is a just transition, and we're not talking about it. We need to be putting on the table measures to get across this massive gulf that we have now, where we are completely invested in this carbon economy, with our coal-fired power stations and coming back to Eskom, you know, with just throwing everything at burning as much coal as possible. We're one of the world's biggest coal exporters, and we need to get to a point where the models that show renewables can employ hundreds of thousands of people. There are many models around the world and in this country that show that. And we're just not talking about this just transition. The president mentioned, he mentioned global warming. It's a phrase that was last used 5 years ago. It's climate change. He mentioned it once in the State of the Nation address. And if we're going to put all our eggs in the basket with economic growth and the fiscus and all of that and not even talk about just transition, then I think the pushback from the likes of Greenpeace, from the likes of Amnesty International, from the likes of the journalists who are writing about this at a high level across the world, the fight needs to be taken to the mainstream economists here. And we don't have much time.
Kevin Blum, thank you very much indeed.